There's a little boy. He was so excited because he had invited a little friend to come to church for the first time. And the little boy, that the visitor, was so full of questions and so full of wonder. And the boy that brought him was feeling so cool because he thought he knew all the answers. So he brought him in. They sat down in their pew. And they began the worship service. And the little boy says to his friend, kind of elbows him and says, "What does that mean when these people get up here and play guitar and the drums and sing?" And the little boy told him all proud, "Well, that's our worship team. They lead us in a time of singing, and we praise the name of Jesus." And the little boy says, "Okay, that's kind of cool." A little bit later, the pastor called up the ushers, and they brought the offering plates, and they began to take the offering. And the little boy says to his friend again, what does that mean when those men pass that plate around and people put their money in it?" And the boy, again, all proud because he knows what's going on, he says, "Oh, that's our time that we collect our tithes and our offering. That's when the people in the church give to the Lord of their finances." And the little boy said, "Well, that's pretty cool." And then it got time for the preaching, and pastor gets up behind the desk, and the little boy says to his friend, "What does that mean when that man up there takes off his watch?" The little boy looked at him and said, "That doesn't mean a thing." we won't be that long tonight. But praise the Lord. Isn't it awesome when the Lord confirms things with you? When a pastor had asked me a couple of weeks ago if I'd be able to speak tonight, of course I jumped on the opportunity and said, "Absolutely." But then the time comes where we need to seek the Lord on what it is that he wants to go forth tonight. So I'd been praying for a couple of weeks, and I had some kind of ideas. And the strangest thing, I was at my dresser in our bedroom. I started cleaning it off, pulling things out, and I found this paper all folded up nice and neatly, and I looked at it, and I looked, there was a date on it. This was a message, I don't even know how it got there, a message that I preached dated 10/15/95. A message I preached in 1995, and it just happened to show up. I'm thinking, what's that? I started reading it a little bit, and I'm looking at it. I said, there's some good stuff in there, and some ideas came. So tonight, I'm not going to preach a message that I preached in 1995, but I pulled some thoughts out of it into what I want to speak about. That's a long time ago. Think about that. That's 28 years ago. That's a long time. So I'm looking at some of the pop culture references are probably a little outdated. You might not get. But you know what? The scripture is the same. The word of God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's the same word, whether it's 28 years ago or whether it's tonight. It's the same word. And this word has been confirmed twice in just the last day or two. My wife and I were down in Hayward, Wisconsin last night, and we were watching our little one-week-old grandson so our daughter and son could get some rest. And we were sitting on the couch, and Haley, our daughter, says, "Well, here's the remote. Watch whatever you want." And Netflix happened to be on. And the movie, I can only imagine, the story of Bart Millard from band Mercy Me, I can only imagine was on. And we're watching that movie, and the actor playing Bart Millard said the exact phrase that the Lord gave me for tonight. It's three words. And then today, I'm out doing my FedEx route. I have a radio on, and I'm listening to Wisconsin Sports Network, and they had three words in his press conference. I don't think that's coincidence. So tonight, I'm going to speak just for a little bit on three simple words. But they're encouraging words. And the words are simply, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Lord Jesus, we do love you tonight, and we are so thankful for your presence. We have felt you, Lord, in our time of worship. We have felt you in the testimonies tonight. We're now asking for the next few minutes, Lord, that you anoint the teaching and the preaching of your word. We know that your word itself is already anointed, Lord, but as it goes forth, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to receive what you have for us. whatever it takes. I'm kind of a history buff. I especially like U.S. history. And I've always, since I've been a little kid, had a fascination with the office of the presidency of the United States. I had a lot of books growing up on the presidents. So I found an interesting story here. Some of you are going to remember. I'm looking out and there, see a lot of young people. You're not going to remember this, but I know some of us will. I was probably 5 or 6 when this occurred. But the year was 1972. There was a man by the name of Daniel Ellsberg. Remember that name. Daniel Ellsberg dated Henry Kissinger. And he caused a major security leakage about President Nixon. This man released classified information trying to turn the citizens of the United States against President Nixon. So, of course, President Nixon wasn't real happy about this. He wanted Ellsberg exposed. He wanted this over. So President Nixon gets on the phone, and he calls in his special counsel, an advisor known as the Hatchet Man. Charles Colson was his name. And this was the words he said to Charles Colson. Chuck Colson, you may know him a little bit better. He told Chuck Colson, he said, "You do whatever it takes to get dirt on Ellsberg." He said, "I don't care what happens. I don't care what is done. You do whatever it takes to get Ellsberg exposed, no matter the cost, no matter the results." So Colson took President Nixon's words. He called up a couple of guys, and he did whatever it took. And the result, he had a couple of guys raid and attempt to rob the Democratic National Committee offices. Think about that. How crazy is that? These guys snuck in to the Democratic National Committee offices and apartment complex known as Watergate to find this information that they could expose Ellsberg. Not very smart, but Colson took the word of the president. He said, "You do whatever it takes," and he did. And, of course, the end result is history. Most of us know President Nixon resigned his presidency in disgrace. Chuck Colson spent 7 months in a federal prison for his role. But he did whatever it takes. And those three words, that means we don't care of the results. We don't care what might happen. I am going to do whatever it takes to get what I want. Now, our scripture setting tonight, I'm going to tell you a story. We find it in the book of Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 through 22. This was a man who you would think would do whatever it takes. His intentions were noble, but he didn't quite finish. Matthew 19, 16 through 22, we know this as the story of the rich young ruler. And I'm going to break the story up a little bit. We're going to start 19, verse 16. All right. "Now behold, one came to him." He's talking about Jesus. "One came to him and said, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" So we see this man has good ambitions, noble ambitions, and he knew where to go. He knew the person to ask this question. You know, he could have went to any rabbi. He could have went to any teacher that was in the temple. But he knew to go to the man named Jesus. And he said, "What good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And he wanted eternal life. He knew about eternal life and he wanted it. And he knew the one to ask about it. So he said to him, this is Jesus, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter in life, here's the key. This is what you need to do. Keep the commandments." And this man, eyes were probably this big and his ears were listening. He goes, "All right, what commandments? What do I have to do? Which ones?" In verse 18, Jesus said, "You shall not murder." And I can just see this ruler going, "Yes, I've never murdered anyone." You shall not commit adultery. "Oh, I've never done that either." "You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the man was so excited because all his life he had followed every one of those laws. Every one of those commandments this man had obeyed. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Whatever it takes, rich young ruler. Whatever it takes means everything. There's one more thing. Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was so close. He had obeyed the commandments. Probably 75 to 80% of the eternal life that he was seeking, he had already obtained. But when it came to the end, he lacked the whatever it takes attitude. If he would have had that whatever it takes attitude, he would have instantly given what he had to the poor and followed Jesus, but he held back. That's not whatever it takes. We need to do whatever it takes in everything that we do. Now, what I want to do here is I've got a list of some great Bible characters. Those that not only had the attitude of whatever it takes, but those that applied whatever it takes, and they did whatever it took. And when I say whatever, I mean whatever. That means you hold nothing back. Everything you give, if you want it, bad enough. First one, I'm calling this wit. So I don't have to say whatever it takes all the time. This first biblical example of wit I want to tell you is found way back in the fourth chapter of Genesis. The second son born of Adam and Eve. Remember Abel. Abel wanted to give to God the perfect sacrifice. He wanted to give the first of his flock. And Abel's attitude was, if it takes giving up the firstling of my flock to please God, I'll do it. I don't care if my brother's going to be bad. And you know what? My brother might even try to kill me, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to please my God, and I'm going to offer the firstling of my flock. And he did. And unfortunately, his brother did kill him for it. The ultimate sacrifice, but he did whatever it took to please God, and God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice because he did whatever it took. And before I get to the next one here, I want you to realize right now, those of you that are living for the Lord, that are filled with his Spirit, we've already have the whatever it takes in us. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We have whatever it takes, but it's up to us to use that, to use whatever it takes. We have it. You know, Jeremy Camp came out with that great song a couple of years ago. He said, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power lives in us, and it does. That very same power that Jesus had, we have. That Spirit works within us. We have whatever it takes, but we have to utilize whatever it takes. So the second one here, we see old Noah. We all know the story of Noah. But Noah said, whatever it takes, I am going to save my family from this destruction. God told Noah, I've had enough. I'm going to destroy the earth. I'm going to flood the earth. And he told Noah, I want you to build the boat. And he gave him the dimensions. And of course, we know the story. Noah and his family built that ark. Noah did whatever it took to save his family. And that was facing ridicule. That was facing laughter. That was facing the hard work of not only building the ark, but of gathering the animals and doing it. Noah did whatever it took. Genesis chapter 22, we read the story of Abraham and his son Isaac. And God told Abraham, I want you to take your son. I want you to take him up to the mountain and prepare a sacrifice. Abraham gets up to the top of the mountain. This is his only son. This is his firstborn son. He brings his son Isaac up with him. He says, Isaac, I want you to go. I want you to build an altar. We're going to make a sacrifice. And Isaac looked and said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Abraham was ready to sacrifice his own flesh and blood, his son, to God because he knew it would please him. He was willing to do whatever it takes to please God, and whatever it took for Abraham was to sacrifice his son. And of course, it was just a test. And when they looked up, they saw the sacrifice caught up in the brush. But Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son. Now that is whatever it takes attitude. In Genesis 32, we read about Isaac's son, Jacob. Jacob wanted God's blessing on his life. And you know what it took? He said, I don't care, whatever it takes, I want your blessing. And he wrestled, literally, all night with an angel, rolling around, fighting, wrestling. And Jacob's attitude was, I don't care, whatever it takes, I'm going to get this blessing. If it takes me injuring my hip so I have a limp for the rest of my life, which he did, I will be blessed. And sure enough, Jacob received that blessing because he did whatever it took. It didn't matter the consequences. He did whatever it took. Genesis 39, I have a few more here. I want to encourage you because I want you to know that you have that same whatever it takes inside of you. As these were just men. They're great men. They're historical men. But they're just like men and women like we are. And they have that whatever it takes attitude. And you can also. Or you do have it, but you need to use it. Joseph in Genesis 39 was being pursued by the wife of the man that he was working for. Joseph was working for a man named Potiphar, and he had a good job. He respected his boss. But his boss's wife had an eye out for Joseph. Nice, good-looking young man. And she wanted him for herself. She wanted to cheat on her husband and have this young servant. And Joseph would have no part of it. I'm not going to do it, whatever it takes. I am not going to disgrace my boss. I am not going to disgrace my God. Whatever it takes, I'm not going to do it. I don't care if it takes being thrown into a prison. I won't do it. And you know what? He was thrown into a prison, but he did whatever it took not to succumb to Potiphar's wife. Moses had the same attitude. Whatever it takes, if it means being put to death by Pharaoh, I will do whatever it takes to lead my Hebrew brothers and my Hebrew sisters out of bondage and into freedom. I will do it, whatever it takes. And he did. Now, ladies, you can appreciate this. I'm not just talking about guys. There are great, great women in the Bible, and we read these stories. This is one of our favorites. In fact, my wife and I last summer were able to see this story at the great Sight and Sound Theater in Branson, Missouri. Queen Esther was informed of the evil plot that Haman had set. They were tricked, and Haman had a plot to destroy all of the Hebrews. He wanted to be king. He didn't want no part of them. But Queen Esther's cousin got wind of the plan and said, Esther, you're going to have to do something. You are going to have to go to the king and tell him what this plot is. But there was a law that even the king's wife was not able to come into his presence without warning, without foreknowing. But she said, you know what? These are my people. And they're going to perish if I don't do anything. I am going to do whatever it takes. And if it takes the king killing me, I am going to do it. And of course, you know, Esther approached the king. She did whatever it took. couple more. I am going to pray. I'm going to continue my prayer life. You know who this is? I am still going to pray three times a day. I don't care if the king throws me into a den of lions. Whatever it takes, I am still going to pray three times a day, and Daniel did it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, if it takes being thrown into a fiery furnace, we will not bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Whatever it takes, if it takes us being consumed by this fire, we will not bow down. They did whatever it took. Now, those are great Bible stories. But there are instances all over our society. If you read the paper, I don't even know if they have papers anymore. If you go online and look at whatever newspapers are left, or TV, or movies, whatever, we could see all the time instances of whatever it takes in our society. And these are a couple here that I had. This is where the cultural references are a little outdated. I did use some of these from my original notes that I found in 1995, but they're still so pertinent today. And you'll probably remember the stories. Oh, the things that people will do to get what they want. Some people are consumed with whatever it takes. And in 1992, in Houston, a mother had a daughter, and she was trying out for the cheerleading squad. She was a great cheerleader. But there was a rival cheerleader, and she was better than her daughter. And instead of telling her daughter, well, why don't you just work a little harder? She had another idea. She wanted to do whatever it took. She says, whatever it takes, I'm going to make sure that you are the captain of the cheerleading squad. And she hired a hitman to murder the other cheerleader. As bad as that is, she knew whatever it takes, and she did it. Again, in 1992, see, we're going back here, but this is another great story. You might remember this one. There was a great competition going between two United States figure skaters, and they were competing against each other to go to the Olympics. And one was obviously a little bit better than the other. Again, the mother of the one skater, her name was Tanya Harding, realized that if she wanted her daughter, Tanya, to be in the Olympics, she would have to defeat this other skater. Her name was Nancy Kerrigan. And again, instead of mom saying, well, maybe you ought to just go and practice harder, maybe you should just work a little bit, she said, no, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that you get to the Olympics. And they hired a couple of goons, they hired a goon squad, a couple of guys, to catch Nancy Kerrigan as she was coming off her practice skate with a little billy club. They snuck behind her and they whacked her behind the knee. And she crumbled to the ground. She wasn't able to skate. Again, as wrong and as horrible as that was, that is a whatever it takes attitude. We can use that whatever it takes for the good. We see it all the time in our athletics, college and pro sports. Even in the last month or so, if you follow college football at all, you see the story of what's been going on with the coach of the University of Michigan, Jim Harbaugh. Great coach, but his attitude is, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get an advantage over the other team. And he illegally hired a scout to go to opposing teams' practices and take down notes. And it's against NCAA rules to have anything electronic, but he was putting it on computers and stuff. And it all came back to Jim Harbaugh, and he ended up being suspended for the last few games of the year. But he did whatever it took. I don't know how many baseball fans there are in here, but a few years ago, the Houston Astros won the World Series, but not fair and square. They said, we have to have an advantage. We have to do whatever it takes. Now, this is where it's funny. Whatever it takes to win the World Series, well, it takes hitting the ball better. It takes better pitching. It takes better fielding. But they said, no, we're going to do something else. And they arranged this scheme to where they had somebody hiding who would know what the pitches were, and they were banging on garbage cans, and their banging on the garbage can would send a signal to a coach in the dugout who, in turn, would let the batter know what kind of pitch was coming. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. These are still negative, but we're going to get to the positive here in just a few minutes. But more than sports, where do you think the most whatever it takes attitude happens? Anyone know? Someone just said it. It's in politics. You know, there was a day, and Pastor, I'm sure you probably remember a day, when if somebody was running for office, they would stand behind a desk and they would actually talk about their platform, and they would talk about changes that they wanted to make, and that sounded pretty good. But nowadays, almost every politician, instead of laying out their own platform, their own beliefs, their own promises, they're focused more on smearing the opponent and making the opponent look bad just so they look better. That's a whatever it takes. Whatever it takes, I'm going to make that person look real bad. I'm not getting, you know, I won't name any names, but you all know politicians who have done that. And it's getting worse and getting worse and getting worse. But I want to encourage you tonight. I said we already, within us, with the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, we have whatever it takes. Any situation that crosses our pathway, anything that you want to accomplish, anything, we have it in us. But it's a matter of using that whatever it takes, of applying whatever it takes. The rich young ruler that we talked about in our opening story, he had whatever it took. He followed all the commandments. It wouldn't have been hard for him to do what Jesus said. Just give what you have to the poor and follow me. 85% of the way there. But he would not do whatever it took to see eternal life. Now, what am I getting at with us here? There are some certain things in our walk with God that we have to apply this same whatever it takes attitude to, as Tonya Harding's mother did with Nancy Kerrigan, or that same whatever it takes attitude that Charles Colson had with exposing Ellsberg and opened up the whole Watergate scandal. First thing I have here is prayer. I know we pray. I know you pray. I pray. But is your prayer just getting up in the morning, thank you, Lord, please be with me today and bless this day, and then you're off? You go off to work. You go off to school. How about praying with whatever it takes, Lord? Whatever it takes of me. I am not going to get up off of my knees until I know that I have heard from you. Until I know I am going to pray until whatever it takes happens. You know, if I have to get up early and pray, if that's what it takes, I'm going to do it. If I have to stay up all night until I receive my answer, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever it takes until I hear from God. That's probably the closest to the stories I was telling of Jacob. Yeah, I am going to wrestle this angel until I am blessed. Whatever it takes. And it took Jacob all night. You know what? It might take you all night. It might take you three nights. It might take you weeks and months of praying whatever it takes until you hear from the Lord. But I want to encourage you, you will. Don't give up. Don't quit like the rich young ruler did. It was right at the grasp of the rich young ruler. He was seeking eternal life, and it was there before him. But he quit before it was over. He didn't have what it took. He did inside, but he didn't utilize it. I think about our lives, our walk with the Lord, with our salvation. I will do whatever it takes to live for him. I know so many people that they say that, but when they're confronted by somebody, when they're laughed at, when kids are laughed at, you know, it's hard for a young person to be laughed at and ridiculed. Someone's talked to them about their faith, and they start to waver and, well, no. I am going to do whatever it takes. I don't know what you have, what your situations are at work. Every day I have a friend who comes up to me and he says, can we pray before we start? And this is while we're on the clock. He says, can we pray? Every day for the last 3 years. And you know what? I don't worry about that camera. We have cameras all over. I don't worry about what that camera is. You know what? I don't worry about what anyone else says. I don't worry if I'm going to be reported to management. You know why? Because I'm going to do whatever it takes to reach those people that I can at work. And if someone asks me to pray with them, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And that's the attitude that you have to have, whether it's school, whether it's work, if it's in church, whatever it takes, do it. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. It's not. It's not always going to be easy. There may be repercussions. You know, there may come the day, it may even be tomorrow, when I'm praying at work and management says, well, can you come see me in my office? You know, someone said that you're doing something here that doesn't look quite normal. Can you explain it? That might happen tomorrow. It hasn't yet, but it might. But I don't care. I'm going to do whatever it takes. If it takes ridicule, sacrifice, I'm not doing it halfway. And that goes with anything. Now, I heard some great testimonies tonight. I heard someone, I think came over here, I think it was you, ma'am, who was talking about having gone back to cigarettes. I got a feeling that you have a whatever it takes attitude. You're saying whatever it takes, I'm not going to pick up one of those things again and put it in my mouth. I don't care if I have pain. I don't care what withdrawals I go through, but I am not putting that thing in my mouth again. That's whatever it takes. Or maybe it's some other addiction, whether it you may have a problem with drinking alcohol, whatever it may be, and you decide finally that you're not going to drink, you're going to put that bottle down, you're going to put that can down, you're going to put that cup down and do whatever it takes. If it takes withdrawals, if it takes whatever, do it. Whatever it takes. I know some of you sometimes are looking for you're looking for work. Maybe you scour the internet for 10 minutes. Oh, there's no jobs out there for me. I'm just going to go on and do this. No. If you really want a job, if you really want to work, you need to do whatever it takes to get that job. Whatever it takes. If it takes 3 days of scouring the internet or weeks of knocking on doors, filling out applications, going places. If you really, truly want that job, you will do whatever it takes. And you know what? You will get it. Don't quit. Don't stop. Like the rich young ruler. He stopped just short of getting what he wanted. He was so close. I know I've said this a couple of times, but he was so close. He obeyed the commandments. He was on the right way. He was almost there. But then when Jesus said, one more thing you need to do. I can't do that. I quit. How many jobs have you may have missed because you quit looking at the very last minute? It's everything. I'm just saying job. I know people are looking for houses and for cars. You're praying for a car. Whatever you're saying, oh, I want a car so bad. I need to get to places or whatever it may be. Whatever it takes to get that car, then do it. Save money. Try to find the best rates, whatever. But whatever it takes, do it. And the car can be yours. I see so much, hurt when I see things on the news and stuff. Children, kids that are brought up in households where there's physical or emotional, sometimes even sexual abuse, and it just breaks my heart to see these kids. And you see their parents, and they don't want to do those things. They want to be better parents for their children. But we have to be willing to do whatever it takes to be that. If it takes counseling, if it takes prayer, if it means coming to it and having a counseling session with your pastor, if you really want something, you have to do whatever it takes to get there. Or you know what? You won't. If you stop at 80%, even if you stop at 90%, you're not going to get it. Whatever it takes. Your ambitions, your goals in life, whatever they may be, work and work and work to get them. Do whatever it takes and you will achieve whatever that is. So many times we get so close to a goal and we stop. Do whatever it takes. My favorite whatever it takes story, and I'm almost done, was the story of a young man, barely graduated from high school. He was at the bottom of his class. But he had a dream. He had a vision. He had a goal. He wanted to attend the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. You can't just go to Notre Dame. You have to have the grades. You have to know people to go to Notre Dame. Not this young man. He was determined to do whatever it takes to get to Notre Dame. But not only to get to Notre Dame, this young guy had the crazy ambition of playing on the Notre Dame football team, the University of Notre Dame. You got it? You already hear him chanting up here. The guy's up here going, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. Well, he said, I am going to do whatever it takes. And what it took for this young man was to go through 3 long years of junior college to get his grades back up. Every time he would apply to Notre Dame, he would get a rejection letter saying, no, you don't make the grades. You're not good enough. You can't go to Notre Dame. But Rudy Rudiger said, I'm going to do whatever it takes. And he took these courses from the junior college. And finally, the very last semester that he was eligible to be able to go to Notre Dame, he received that letter that said, congratulations, you have made the grade. You are now eligible to attend the University of Notre Dame. Goal accomplished, he said. He did whatever it took, but it wasn't over yet. Remember what I said? He not only wanted to attend Notre Dame, he wanted to play on the football team for Notre Dame. And this was a little guy, and these guys were huge for Notre Dame. He said, I am going to do whatever it takes. So he barges in to the head coach's office. You can't do that at a place like Notre Dame. But Rudy didn't care. You know why? Because he was going to do whatever it takes to get what he wanted. And if it takes me getting thrown out by the security guards, I don't care. I'm going to do it. He walked into the office of the head coach and said, I'm going to play football for you. Coach just looked at him like, whatever. So the next year when they had open tryouts, they have an open tryout for people, not for the actual team, but to play for the scout team. And the scout team were, I hate to call them dummies, but that's what they were called. They were just the bodies that the varsity team would use to beat up on in practice. Rudy didn't care if it's going to cost him bruises and cuts and blood. He said, whatever it takes, if it's going to take me playing on this practice team for these guys, I'm going to do it. And he did. And most of you know the story. Ultimately, because of his whatever it takes attitude, because of his intensity in these practices, the very last game of the varsity season, the coach allowed him to suit up for the game. And that was an honor just to suit up because they had so many people on the team. There were 30, 40 guys that didn't even get to wear a jersey. They got beat up in practice. They didn't even get to play in the games. But the coach saw this whatever it takes attitude in Rudy and said, you're going to be able to play. Or you're not going to be able to play, but you can stand on the bench. So he accomplished it. He's sitting on the bench. Game goes on. About 12 seconds left in the game. All the seniors are getting in. They're getting that one taste of the Golden Dome field on Notre Dame. And finally they said, oh, whatever, let Rudy go in. What could possibly happen? Rudy Sachs, the quarterback, gets carried off the field on the shoulders of his teammates. Why? Because he did whatever it takes. And I close tonight with the greatest whatever it takes story in history. You knew, being just a couple of days after Christmas, we had to roll Christmas into the message somewhere. But just imagine our God, the God of creation. He's looking at the world. He had tried for so many years. He wanted his people to live for him. But people on this earth were getting worse and worse and worse and more evil and more evil and more evil. So finally our God said, whatever it takes. And he said, if it takes me wrapping my own self in flesh and going down to that world so that I might be saved, I'm going to do it. Whatever it takes, our God sent his only begotten Son. He rolled himself in flesh and became our salvation. He did whatever. You imagine? That's what it took. And as Jesus lived his life, he knew from the time he was born his future. He knew what was at stake. He knew what was going to happen 33 and a half or so years later. But he looked at the people and said, not only am I here, but if they're going to be saved, if it takes me becoming the sacrificial lamb, if it takes my blood to save these people from their sins, we sang about the blood tonight. He said, if it takes my blood, I'm going to do it. If it's going to take me nailed to a cross, whatever it takes to save this dying people, I'm going to do it. Jesus did whatever it takes. Aren't you so thankful that he did whatever it took for you? So tonight, the same challenge I leave with you. If our God saw enough to where he finally decided, that's it, I have to do this myself to save the people, how much more are you going to give to him? I know this is just a Wednesday night. Maybe this is just another night for you. But when we have our time of worship, why don't you? I'm going to challenge you. Why don't you do whatever it takes in your time of worship? Don't worry about the person next to you. Maybe you don't have the greatest singing voice. So what? Lift your hands. Lift your voices and worship like you've never worshiped before. I'm going to do whatever it takes to worship you in our time of worship, Lord. When you go to work tomorrow, when you go to school, have that. I'm going to do whatever it takes to witness to that person. I'm going to do whatever it takes to sit at the table with that nerd over there that doesn't have anyone sitting with them. I'm going to go and I'm going to sit with them at the lunch table. Whatever it takes. And I challenge you tonight, church, whatever it is that you desire, that you long for, whatever your wants are, give everything that you have. Give whatever it takes. Don't worry about the consequences. Don't worry about what somebody might say. Just do whatever it takes. Amen.
Amen. How many would love to see a bunch of people really get saved, our loved ones, ones that go, how many want to be used by God? Amen. You know, there's no such thing as a superstar in the kingdom of God. Everybody is common. And, you know, I found out a long time ago, you know, the enemy, he tries to get us to a place where we don't get to see God always moving through our lives. And like he said, you know, what the Bible says is, if anyone's willing to do my will, they will know. And you know, we battle with ourselves. I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, just being able to go and talk to somebody about Jesus was kind of hard, because your mind would say, well, what can I say? Or I don't really have the right just to come up and start talking to them. You know, well, I'll tell you what, how many have ever gone up to somebody and say, hey, what time is it? Every one of us, right? Have you ever asked somebody what time it is? I mean, that's how easy I found out it is to talk about Jesus. It's just that easy. I can ask you what time it is, and I feel comfortable about it. And, you know, all of a sudden, God started kind of working on me a little bit, and I just started going up to people, and I'd just start talking to them. Well, what do you think about Jesus? And I'll tell you what they'd tell you. Or you'd say, if God... If there's something you really need in your life and God can answer it, what would that prayer be? And all of a sudden, they'll just tell you, well, why don't we pray about that right now? And I'll tell you what, suddenly you get yourself a miracle, and pretty soon you might even get yourself a friend, because God just did something. But you know, that's how easy it is. If anyone's willing to do my will, well, like you said, there's opposition. The enemy doesn't want you to. He wants you to think about all these other things, but to pray with people. I mean, you can, if you can walk up to somebody and ask what time it is, you can walk up to somebody and say, hey, can I pray with you? Just like that. Hey, I'll tell you what, you'll find that a lot of people are going to say yes. And then, wow, God just starts to move. And that's the most fun thing, to see what God can do. Amen? Thank you, brother. Thank you, all of you.